When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it became part of their DNA. And because it became part of their DNA, God then said, now you are like gods, knowing both good and evil. Let us put you out of the garden as a protection. Why? Because if we would have eaten from the tree of eternal life in that condition, we'd be stuck. So then Jesus comes along and explains part of this. He says things like, you've heard it said that if you commit murder or adultery in your heart, that you've sinned. I tell you, if you commit it in your heart, you've already done it. In other words, all of you are murderers and all of you are adulterous. That's what he was really saying. He was saying, you can't not commit murder and you can't not commit adultery. And then he says a little bit later on, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added. And then he's telling you a pathway out. And then he comes back and he says, don't judge, lest you be judged. For with the same manner of judgment you judge, it'll be judged back unto you. But he just got finished telling us that we can't not judge because we've already done things in our heart. So what was he saying? Was he actually instructing you not to judge? No, he was telling you, you can't stop judging and you can't stop becoming and you've already condemned yourself and I didn't come to condemn you. You did well enough alone. I came to give you life and life abundant. He came to reveal the condemnation and the slavery to sin that we were already abiding in. That's what he was doing. So we as Christians, including myself, I read that scripture. I thought, oh, I need to not judge. I'm not going to judge people. Therefore, I'm going to be good and not judge. And I've deluded myself. I've lied to myself in thinking that I can't. Because simply to have pity on another person who is in jail or who has done something bad, that means I had to have judged them to even have pity. How could you have pity on someone if you hadn't judged them? So the damnation that we all are a part of is that we can't stop judging, and everything we judge, that judgment must come back on us. So people go, well, Angela, how am I going to stop? Here's the answer. You're not. You're not going to stop. Oh my God, wherein lies my hope? That's what Jesus said. Your hope is in him. And he said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. So this is what I do with my judgments now. I know that I'm going to judge everything. I'm going to judge it either good or evil. And so now I don't lean unto it. And I say, Father, you see my judgment? I'm judging this as evil. But Father, you know that I'm no different. So I judge myself equal with what I just judged. God, will you have mercy on me and that person? And will you deliver us? And God, use me. Speak through me. Do with me what you will. But Father, I don't want to lean unto my judgment because that just means I'm going to go become the same thing if I think I'm different. So Father, I judge myself equal already. The minute I judge myself equal already, now I'm fulfilling something that love does. It doesn't esteem one above another. See, God doesn't esteem one above another. He doesn't love those who love him and hate his enemies. He loves his enemies. He's perfect. And he teaches us, he says, now I want you to be perfect. I want you to love as you are loved. No, I want you to love your enemy. Well, how do you do that? You can't. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place. So what happens is when all of a sudden we realize that when we doubt and we murder in our heart or we have adultery in our heart or we just, if we break one law, we've broken them all. So now we, according to the law, are not lovable. We, according to the law, are not justifiable. But when we believe that God loves us anyway, that's believing the impossible. That's what it means to be righteous, is to believe the impossible. It was imputed unto Abraham righteousness that he believed the impossible, that while his body was yet dead, God could bring forth life. And so we, right now, as Christians, have to come to the place of understanding where we realize that we are judges. We can't stop. Therefore, we are damned in everything we've already judged. So wherein lies our hope? I go ahead and judge myself guilty. And I ask for mercy, not only for myself, but everyone else that I'm judging in that same thing. Now, when I do that, that's called humility. Now, you just don't get humble. How does humility happen? When judgment is unveiled to you, there was a time in my life when I thought I understood righteousness, judgment, and sin because I had been taught on those things. And the Holy Spirit rebuked me and said, that's what I came here for. So if I came here to reveal righteousness, judgment, and sin, and you already know what it is, I must be wasting my time. And I realized how presumptuous and proud I was. And I said, oh God, have mercy on me. Please reveal righteousness, judgment, and sin to me. And the Holy Spirit said, I would love to. So as I began to teach on judgment and that we are everything that we judge, people get scared. That's their first response. Oh my God, I can't quit judging. Yeah, I know, me too. So what next, Angela? So I went to God and I said, God, help me to show your people that judgment's not bad, that you didn't make a mistake when you put the tree in the garden, that the devil didn't trick you, and that you're not indifferent. Because my question to God was, why'd you put that tree there? And why'd you make the serpent? If you knew what was going to happen, this doesn't make any sense. But what God said to me was, Angela, the knowledge of good and evil is part of me. I know all things, and nothing can hide from me. There is no shadow. Even the light, even the darkness is light unto me. If I would have withheld the tree, I would have withheld a part of myself. And I didn't want to withhold any part of me. But when you think that you can judge and eat from that, you rise up above me and become like me. That's why in Scripture I said you were of your father the devil, who was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And that's why I sent the spirit of adoption to adopt you and to call you my own, to reconcile you unto myself, so that you could be healed from eating from that tree. Because every time you eat from the tree, guess what you become? An accuser. What is the devil called? An accuser. And whatever we accuse must come back on us. So that humbles you. When you understand judgment, all of a sudden you begin to have the fear of the Lord, which is, I don't want to judge anymore. And you begin to have humility, not because you chose to be humble, but because you're clothed in it. And so this was the quote the Holy Spirit gave me. Judgment is the fabric used to fashion your garments of humility that deliver you from the pride of life. So judgment's not bad. Judgment wakes us up to our condition. And when you've awakened to the condition that we are in as a result of eating from that tree, we cry out for mercy. And we're broken and contrite, and God gives grace to the humble. So the purpose of judgment is to overtake pride and crush pride in our lives and cause us to be humble, so that we would never exalt one above another, that we would begin to see all people as equal in the eyes of God and in our eyes.